Welcome, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here in this sacred place. Anywhere where there's devotees, those who are dedicated to knowing the absolute truth, is a good place to be. And in the Shastra, in the scripture, Bhakti scripture, it is said that especially where devotees are singing the names of God is where God is present. And this place is built specifically so that people from everywhere can come and experience something profound within themselves. And really, we don't have to go very far to find what we're looking for, because it's right inside. And today I'm going to read a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the story of a devotee saint who was a little boy, 5 years old, named Prahlad Maharaj. And he was born into a bad family, to say the least. His father was the infamous Hiranyakashipu, who had performed austerities in order to become powerful, in order to keep people under his control and harass others. But he had a saintly son. And there's a lesson from that, that bhakti can appear anywhere. Just as sometimes we see a small plant growing out of the side of a rock, bhakti knows no impediment, can grow in the heart of any person, no matter what background they're from. It's spontaneous, and it comes by the mercy of God and his devotees. So in today's verse, Prahlad Maharaj, who had been sent to school by his father with the hopes of getting an MBA, came back to his playmates at recess and was teaching them what he had learned from his spiritual master. It was a conundrum for both his father, Hiranyakashipu, and for Prahlad's teachers, where he had learned the devotional science. And it is a science. It is a science in that, as much as if I walked into a laboratory at, what is a local university here? If I walk into John Hopkins University and rummaged through the biology department and began looking in microscopes, I might say, what are you all doing here? This doesn't look very interesting. And you guys just looking at a bunch of blobs, because I don't know the science and I'm not sure what they're looking at. However, a student of biology who has learned the science from the very beginning, what is a cell? What is the nucleus of a cell? What a cell does, how magnificent of a unit it is, may see universes of possibility within each cell and be looking into all the ways in which the cell can be fortified and saved from disease and so forth. And years of research can go into looking into one slide, but I can't see it. So in a similar way, sometimes people come forward and in any religious philosophy and they'll say, show me God. And have you done your homework? Have you studied the science? Have you followed the text? Just as one would when one goes to John Hopkins College, one would be expected to have a foundation of knowledge to enter into the class. So it's a high subject, actually, what is God? And in today's verse, Prahlad Maharaj compares the spiritual scientist to a geologist. How many geologists do we have here today? Please raise your hand. Thank you very much. Let's give him a hand. That's for not studying electronic engineering. That's the hand. How many are here for the first time tonight? Let's welcome our new guests. Thank you for coming. So geologists, and I'll refer to you from time to time for verification. Don't worry, it'll be elemental stuff. Geologists can look at a landmass and tell much about what happened in that area, correct? Thank you. For instance, they can see that there was some earthquake previously. The earth had been bifurcated by some massive movement of the land. There had been erosion that had piled up over many, many years in certain areas. Certain kinds of rock indicate certain things. Mostly, however, and maybe you can back me up on this, geologists look for oil. Correct? Correct. So geologists look for oil because that's where the money is. And many people go into geology because they get hired by companies, and the executives of the company don't know where the oil is, but they hire somebody who's studied the science and that can go around the world and look and say, there's probably oil in here. I can pretty much guarantee that there's some oil. I can't tell you how much, but there's going to be oil if you dig here. And similarly, there are mineralogists and geologists together who can find the places where there's likely to be gold or lapis lazuli or emeralds. They appear in certain places under certain conditions. In fact, one of our devotees, Shyamasundara Prabhu, who joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1967, is famous all over the world for being a miner. He knows he has mines around the world, SS mines. And there was even a television show about him recently, an action show, following him around the world at however old he is now, 67, 68 years old, going into these mines. And he knows where to find, and he knows where the mines have already been spent and things like that. He's educated in the science. So today's verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam's 7th canto, 7th chapter in the 21st verse. I'll read the Sanskrit for authenticity. Swarnam yata grava suhi makara shetre shu yogais tadabhigna apnuyat shetre shu dehe shu tatatma yogar adhyatma vid brahma gatim labheta. This is, again, the 5-year-old saint Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his friends at school. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, as an expert mineralogist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. So I particularly like the verb Prabhupada used in this verse, that they look for a place to invest. The geologists don't want to waste their money. That's why they try to get the most exacting information to find out where they're going to dig, because it costs a lot of money to bring out the cranes and start drilling down into the ground to come up with nothing. So you don't want to just randomly go all over the earth and start drilling to find out if there's gold or oil or any other precious mineral or ore down below. Similarly, all of the scriptures of the world, including the Bhagavad Gita, advise us that we should carefully look where is our best investment in life. After all, we only have a certain number of years. And if you go on the internet, you can calculate if you guess how many years you might have left according to the actuary charts, where they calculate how many years you might have left considering your age now, your health condition, the ethnic background you come from, and so forth, then you can pretty much guess within a range how long you might live. And then there's also sites that can show you how many months you have left, how many days, how many minutes, how many seconds. It's actually a revelation. I've done this several times to look and see how many minutes do I have left until I turn 60. And each minute then becomes more meaningful to me. I thought during the scare at the turn of the millennium was called Y2K. And it was a bit of a scare because there was an idea that the whole world was going to shut down because of a computer bug. Do you all remember that? There were shirts and hats that said, prepare or perish. I saw these little clocks that novelty stores were selling that were counting down the years, the months, the minutes, and the seconds until Y2K hit that midnight, and then everything would shut down. And I had imagined what it would be like for all of us if we had one of those little counters on our lapel that we clipped on every morning, and somehow it would tell us how many years, months, minutes, seconds we actually had to stay in the body. Wouldn't we organize our time differently? Yes? Okay. I know I would. So we have an investment to make in this life. The Vedic Bhakti scriptures say, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now that you've come into this opportunity as an investor, we've come to this world as investors. Everyone in this room is an investor. We're investing our time, we're investing our attention, we're putting our energy in a certain direction every day. And the reason is because we believe there's something to drill down for. Why am I studying? Why am I going to work? There's gold down there. Otherwise, why would I be drilling? So the Bhakti scriptures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, says, find out where the real investment is. Don't be cheated and don't go randomly around the earth drilling here and there trying to find some value, some treasure. And then Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out in this verse that your greatest treasure, remarkably, astonishingly, is you. You are that thing that is the most amazing in this world. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ascharyavat paschati kashcharenam ascharyavat vadati tataiva chanyaha. Some speak of the spirit within as being amazing. Some hear of him as amazing. Some, even after hearing about him, cannot comprehend at all the spiritual essence that's within every body is the real value in life. And in fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, we find that Krishna says, naiva tasya kritena arto na kritenida kashchana. That for a person who is drilling down daily to find that atma, to realize oneself as a spiritual being, there is no other duty to do. That's how valuable it is. Because in this world, we're always moved along. From the time we're born, our parents are waiting for us outside with a little sign when we come out of the womb saying, dear Schnicky, welcome to the world. You're going to work hard when you get here. We have a college fund waiting for you because you're going to get an education and you're going to work hard, Schnicky. Because coming into this world, we owe a debt of karma. And we may have to work hard to find that value in life, and people feel dissatisfied throughout their life by missing over and over again the real treasure, bringing out the rig, bringing out the drills, drilling down, and again, what's in there? Nothing. It's empty. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, naiva tasya kritena arto na kriteneha kaschana. If you start investing in yourself, by first of all investigating what yourself is, and understand that you are a part of the Supreme Soul, the divine source of everything, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that you have a very specific role to play in relationship with the Supreme, and you have a connection, then you become the most wealthy person. And the books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these are for investors, serious investors. There's a lot of people in the investment world, they blow their money all the time. One reason is they don't have a good philosophy. They don't know how to invest. They just jump into the market and they buy anything. Penny stocks. This one costs 10 cents. It could go to the moon. It won't, but it could. So they put all their money in and then they lose it. Bad investments. And then some people don't have a good investment philosophy. So they get in the market and they start putting their money, and then the market goes down and they sell off. They buy high and they sell low. Completely the opposite of what they should do. Astute investors come into the market with a philosophy. And that is, just keep buying all the time, regular amount, dollar cost averaging every month. As the market's going up or down, as it's going up, you're buying fewer shares at a higher cost, and as it's going down, you're buying more shares at a lower cost. And over time, the market will trend up, and you'll end up as a wealthy person. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also gives a philosophy of life. He says, Matra sparshas dukonteya shitoshna sukadukada agama payino nityas tamstitikshashva bharata. That don't try to invest in the changing external world or the physical body, because it's always moving, it's always changing. And if you invest in it, and how much investment is there in this physical body? Well, I can tell you a little bit. I don't know overall, but I can say just from nail salons, I think it might be half of the gross national product, because we go around door to door, store to store to introduce Bhagavad Gita in many places. And I was shocked to find that the U.S. economy runs on nail salons. Every place you go, there's a place you have to paint your nails. I didn't know you have to paint your nails, but you have to paint your nails. And then if we get into the other categories, there's haircutting salons, and then there's places to eat. And on the prestigious Burlingame Avenue in California, where they just spent millions and millions of dollars to make the street look like a heavenly planet, we analyzed the stores up and down the street, and we find clothing, food, and nail salons. All external body, there's no one shop on Burlingame Avenue or on Rodeo Drive or any prestigious place in the world where you walk in, they say, here's where to invest in the highest, most, the highest return that you can possibly get, and that's yourself. Everyone's investing in the body, everyone's investing in the mind, but they miss the soul. So Krishna consciousness is a simple process for smart investors to have a philosophy that every day I'm going to invest in my soul. And it doesn't matter if the market's going up or down. I don't care. The world could be in pandemonium around me, but I'm still going to invest in the soul. I could be in health, or I can be in sickness. The weather can be hot or cold, but still, I'm going to invest in the soul every day. This is the mantra of the astute spiritual investor. Find where the gold is and then invest. Don't go looking where there's no gold or speculate without information. This is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. So everyone, actually, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is already a millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire. They've only forgotten. And he told the story about the poor man who had no money, no prospect in life, and he was suffering. And then he met an astrologer, and the astrologer told him, I've looked at your chart, and I have some news for you. And that is, you're not a poor man. You're the son of the richest man in the whole country. You were estranged from him, and he died, and he left you his entire inheritance. Now all you have to do is go dig it up. And I'll tell you exactly where to dig for it. And he gave very specific instructions how to dig it up. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his student Sanatana Goswami that every one of us is like that poor man in this world. We've forgotten our real wealth. And the Srimad Bhagavatam comes and tells us where to invest, where to dig, where to find the real treasure. And when a poor man finds out that he's actually rich, how long does it take for him to change his attitude in life? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking you seriously. Palaka Prabhu says, 1 second. Anybody dispute that? You get a phone call? Less? That's how powerful the investment in spiritual life is. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Neha bikramanashosti prativayo navidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. This investment in the self, in the Atma, is so valuable that even if you get one little molecule of it, su alpam, you're the richest person. You won't have to worry about anything. That's how valuable it is. And if you take a scale, how about a pan scale? Have you seen those? Anyone? 1, 2, 3, 4. What did you buy?
Gold.
It's a high roller in the front row. I was thinking more like cucumbers or dunya or something. Lowy Bazaar, I'm thinking. But you can buy gold in Lowy Bazaar. Cucumbers, anyone? Bitter melon, you bought on the scale. They put the weight on one side. This is a pan scale. So if you put everything that's in Potomac, including all these houses around here, on one side of the scale, and then you take your Atma, yourself, you, on the other side of the scale, which one weighs more? Which one is more valuable? How about if you take everything in Washington, D.C. and Maryland, and you put it on one side of the pan scale and yourself on the other? Which is more valuable? Which is more weighty? You got to get a mantra going. The soul, Vaisheshika. How about if you take everything on the East Coast? What do they have here? Helicopters? Throw a few helicopters on there. What else do they have? Jumbo jets? Anything else? What's available on the East Coast? Name a few things. Huh? Statue of Liberty goes on the scale. What else? White House on the scale. Empire State Building on the scale. A lot of buildings. That should be getting heavy. What else? Niagara Falls on the scale. In fact, the Bhakti scriptures are saying you could put the whole earth on the scale. You could put the whole universe on the scale. And it won't be as valuable as yourself, as the Atma. It's so valuable that if you dedicate your attention to that, you don't have to do anything else. You're not obligated to work in this world, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. You're exempt because you're the smartest investor who ever lived. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschim mam beti tatvataha. Krishna says, these investors are so rare. People running around crazy, investing in penny stocks, getting ripped off everywhere, buying all kinds of things in this world, putting all their money into how I'm going to be happy in this world next month, next year, and they forget that they're an eternal soul, part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the real investment is so easy, and the other investment is so hard. As Prabhupada points out in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to live a life of material acquisition is very difficult. Do you find that to be true? Or is it just me? Yes? He points out, in order to live, let's say, not a pious life, but to indulge in all the kinds of activities that are degrading to the soul, one must maintain stills, breweries, manufacture alcohol. Then, of course, you have to drink the stuff, which is not very easy. And then you have to maintain places where animals are killed, and that's a horrible business. And then there's all the other kinds of institutions meant to simply indulge or overindulge the body and the senses, and they're very difficult to maintain. However, Prabhupada points out, if you invest a little bit of your heart in the bhakti process by giving to Krishna, as evidenced by the verse, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya parachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami pariyatat manaha. If you offer, Krishna says, with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. And he names these things because you can get them anywhere. You can get water anywhere on the earth. You can get a leaf anywhere on the earth, and you can get grass. It's the cheapest thing. And Krishna says, you can take the least expensive thing, and if you offer to me with bhakti, you get the highest reward. That's a better investment than working hard to try to adjust to the changes of this world, to try to adjust in the body, which only causes me anxiety because I know it's going to go away anyway. So the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is an investment firm. We invite you to come and join our other investors and make the best investment in your life, which is to discover the Atma. And even those who are practitioners relish renewing their bhakti every day. And so this temple is here, and there are many devotees who live all over America and all over the world who every day wake up and renew their bhakti, invest in their soul. And if you do that, then everything else you're obligated to do in your life will become valuable because it'll be connected to your quest for the supreme, absolute, and best investment that you can make, which is a connection to the Supreme Personality Godhead, Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally told us that anyone can maintain this investment on a minute-to-minute level, on a minute-to-minute basis, by simply saying the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My godbrother Mukunda Datta Prabhu was just visiting us in California, gave us a verse from the scriptures that says, one should not let one breath come out of one's body without uttering the name of Ram. That's how powerful and valuable the investment is, those who know what the investment is in bhakti, in chanting. And finally, there's no better investment to keep in one's home than the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada brought the Srimad Bhagavatam all the way from India. He brought three books, the first canto that he had translated while he was in Vrindavan, in trunks, about 200 sets. And when he got to America, he was thinking how to get those sets placed in universities and stores, and then he was translating more. And within the Srimad Bhagavatam, is a sound vibration that comes all the way from the spiritual world, from the highest planet in the spiritual world. So astute investors will take the holy name and use their tongue to invest in chanting Hare Krishna, and they will also get the Srimad Bhagavatam because it is available. And every day read from the Bhagavatam, and there you will attain the highest wealth. Thank you very much. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. What else? You want to invest? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatams are available here at the temple? Yes? Okay, you can get from him. Just line up afterwards. He'll get you your case. He'll have stacks of them out there, and you can just pick them up, put them in your car. Don't even worry how much they are. It doesn't matter. It's insignificant. Yes? You ready for sets?
Yes.
Okay. And are there any reflections? One thing that stuck in your mind you want to repeat? Yes? Yes, and I'll repeat it because I don't see a microphone going around. I was saying if we invest in the soul, that you don't have to work in this world. But I didn't quite understand that. Because we do have to work. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is a self-realized person is not obligated to work in any other way except for self-realization. That means if that is one's sole duty in life, to cultivate spiritual knowledge, then there's no other duty. We're born with many obligations and duty to family. Scripture tells us that we have to do so many rituals to take care of obligations. But one doesn't have those obligations anymore if one is fully invested in the self. That means fully invested. During most of our life, we'll have some obligations because of the momentum from our previous life. And therefore, we invest in our spiritual practice to the degree that we can every day. And as the investment grows, we will then reach a point where there's nothing else to do. There's no other duty to do other than to engage in Krishna consciousness. Krishna also says in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one has an overwhelming and complete taste for hearing and chanting, then there's no more duty for that person to do. Krishna maintains such a person. Krishna says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita when he says, Ananyaschintayantomam yejana pariupasate tesham nityabdiyukdanam yoga kshemam bahamyaham. He says, Ananyaschintayantomam, if your consciousness, your mind, is fully absorbed in my work and thinking of me only, then I will carry what you lack and preserve what you have. You don't have to worry about anything else. I'll personally support you and take care of you. Shashi. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna just to sit on the chariot and not do anything. He told Arjuna to do his duty and at the same time remember him. So we must do our duty, but in relationship with Krishna. As Krishna says in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that work, but at the same time remember me. Fight, Arjuna, but at the same time remember me. And Prabhupada says in the purport, that means to chant Hare Krishna and do your work at the same time. You have to work, you have to remember Krishna at the same time. The verse says you're not obligated. The kinds of obligations I have in this world to work are because I have a vested interest in it. Because I have an interest, an investment in the world, then I have an obligation to work for it. When I have no more vested interest, then I don't have an obligation. But the verse also says he also has no reason not to perform his work. And he's talking about a self-realized soul who's fully invested. Palaka.
Just a quick thought.
To work and chant Hare Krishna at the same time. Sometimes people take it literally and they come to class and they chant Hare Krishna while the class is going on. Can I comment on it? Well, chanting Hare Krishna doesn't mean just chanting Hare Krishna. It also means hearing about Krishna, hearing the chanting and so forth. So there are many activities in Krishna consciousness and they're absolute. If one is serving Krishna in various ways, he's connected to the spiritual platform. And particularly chanting while somebody else is talking is probably not a great idea. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.